السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 137 to 142 of Surah Al-An'am. We'll start off with the word meanings, beginning with ayah number 137. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. و and كذلك likewise or thus. زينا he adorned or beautified. لي for كثير. كثير means a lot or many. Min from al-mushrikeen, the polytheists. Al in the beginning means the, and mushrik is somebody who commits shirk. So adding a meme to the beginning of the word shirk makes this word a noun. An ina ending makes this word plural. So mushrikeen means people who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-mushrikeen, those who associate partners with Allah. Qatla, killing. Awlad, children. Him, theirs. Shuraka'u, partners. This is the plural form of the word sharik, which means a partner. So shuraka'u, partners. Hum, theirs. Li, so that. Yurduhum, yurdu, they lead to destruction. Hum, them. Wa and li yalbisu, li so that. Yalbisu, they make confusing. This word comes from libas, which means to cover up or confuse for something for someone. So wali yalbisu, and so that they make confusing. Alay, upon. Him, them. Deenahum, deen, religion or way of life. Hum, theirs. Wa, and lo, if. Sha'a, he willed. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma, not. Fa'aluhu, fa'al means to do. Fa'alu, they did. Hu, it. Fa'dharhum, fa, so. Dhar, leave. Hum, them. Wa, and. Ma, what. Yaftaroon, they fabricate. Iftara is the root word, and that means to fabricate a lie, to come up with a lie. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes it clear that this is plural. So yaftaroon means they fabricate. Wa, and qalu, they said. Hadihi, this, were these. An'amun, cattle. Wa, and harthun, field or tilth. Hijrun, hijr means prohibited. Okay, and it can also mean protected, forbidden. La, na, yat'amuha. Ta'am is the root word here, and it means food. Ta'am means food. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person. So ya ta'amu, he eats. Ha, it. And the it refers to the cattle or the produce. Illa, except. Man, whom. Nasha'u, we will. So sha'a again, the same word which means to will. Adding a noon to the beginning means we. Noon is the pronoun. So nasha'u, we will, be with za'mihim. them, assuming or asserting him, there. Wa and an'amun, cattle, hurrimat, was made haram. So haram is the root word, and that means unlawful. Okay, hurrimat, it was made unlawful. Zuhuruha, zuhur means backs, ha, its, or theirs, meaning the cattle. Wa and an'amun, cattle, la, na, yadhkuruna, they mention. Dhikr is the root word here, and that means to mention. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So it means they. So yadhkurun, they pronounce or they mention. Isma, ism means name. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alay, upon. Ha, them. Iftira'an, fabrication. Alay, against. He, him. Sayyajizihim. Sa in the beginning means soon. And jaza is the root word, and that means to reward, to recompense. Ya in the beginning means he. Okay, so sa soon yajizi, he will recompense him, them. Be, because of, ma, what, kanu, they were. So this is the plural form of the word kun, which means to be. Kanu ends in vowelif, so we know it's in the third person and it's plural. Kanu, they were. Yaftarun, they fabricate. Wa and qalu, they said. Ma, what, fi, in, butun, bellies. So this is a plural form of the word batn, which means the abdomen or belly. So butun means abdomen or wombs. Hadihi, these, al-an'am, the cattle. Khalisatun, exclusively, li, for, dhukur. Dhukur is the plural form of the word dhakr, which means male. So dhukur, males, na, ours. Wa, and muharramun. Muharram, one prohibited, one unlawful. Ala, upon, azwajina, azwaj, pairs or spouses, right? And the men said this, so azwaj would be females, na, ours. Wa, and, in, if, yakun, it is, or it was, maytatan, dead, fa, then, hum, they, fi, in, he, it, shuraka'u, our partners. Sayajizihim, sa, soon, yajizi, he will recompense him, them, wasfahum. Wa, and, isfa means attributing. So attribution, hum, theirs. So wasfahum and their attribution. Innahu, inna, indeed. Hu, he, hakimun, is always all wise. This is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it comes from the word hikmah, which means wisdom. So he is hakim. He is always all wise. And the next attribute mentioned is alim, one always all knowing, the one with all the ilm. It comes from ilm, which means knowledge. Qadir, in fact, khasira, lost, or suffered a loss. Alladhina, those who, qatalu, they killed. Now this is just another form of the word qatla that we learned before, qatla awladihim. So qatla meant killing, and qatalu is in the verb form, and it's in the past tense, so it ends in vawalif. So qatalu, they killed or they murdered awlad, children, whom, theirs. Safahan, due to foolishness. Safihan means to be foolish. So safahan, foolishness, be, without, Bi means with, and غير means out. So بغير, without, ilmin, knowledge, wa, and haramu, they made haram. And this word ends in waw alif, and it's a verb, so it's in the past. وَحَرَّمُوا, and they made unlawful, ma, what, رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ, رَزَقَ, he provided, هُم, them, اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, افْتِرَاءً, to fabricate, Allah, Allah means upon or against, اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ, in fact, ضَلُّ, they went astray. So dalal is the root word that we've covered before, and that means straying. So dalu, they were astray, wa and ma, not, kanu, they were, muhtadin, at all ones to be rightly guided. Huda is the root word. Huda means guidance, and muhtad means the one who is guided. An ina ending makes this word plural. So muhtadin, ones who receive guidance. Wa, and huwa, he, alladhi, is the one who. And when we're speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means alone is the one who. Ansha'a, he created, or he established. Jannat, this is the plural form of the word Jannah, which means a garden. So Jannat, gardens. Ma'rushat, ones trellised or raised. Wa, and ghayra, other than. Ma'rushat, ones trellised or raised. Wan-nakhla, wa, and al, the, nakhl, date palm. Wa, and azara, al means the, and zara, crops. Mukhtalifan, ones different. Ukuluhu, ukul means food. Who, it's, or tastes of it. Wa, and azaytun, the olives. Wa, and arruman, the pomegranates. Mutashabihan, ones resembling or ones similar. Wa, and ghayra, other than. Mutashabi, ones similar or resembling. Kulu, now this is a command, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people when he says this, because this command is plural. It ends in waw alif. So kulu, you all eat. Min, from. Thamarihi, thamar, fruit. He, it's. Idha, when. Athmara, athmara, it bears fruit. Wa, and atu, again, this is a command, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people. So atu, you all give. Haqqahu, haqqa, do. Who, it's. Yoma, day. Hasadihi, hasad, harvest. He, it's. Wa, and la, do not. Tusrifu, you all exceed limits. Israf is the root word here, and that means to be extravagant. Okay, to go into extravagance. Ta in the beginning means you, and waw alif in the end tells us this word is plural. So it means you all be extravagant. Innahu, inna, indeed, who, he, and the he refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la, does not, yuhibbu, he loves, al-musrifin, those who are extravagant. So adding a meem to the beginning of the word israf makes this word a noun. So musrif means somebody who is extravagant, and ina ending makes this word plural. So al-musrifin, those who exceed limits. Wa, and min, from, al-an'ami, the cattle. Hamulatan, this comes from the word hamal, which means to carry a burden. Okay, a burden or weight. So hamulatan, ones who carry weight, wa and farshan, close to the ground. Okay, they are short, close to the ground, and meaning not made to carry burden. Kulu, you all eat, mimma, min, from, ma, what, razakakum, razakwa, he provided, kum, all of you, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and, la, do not, tattabi'u. Taba'a is the root word, and that means to follow. Ta in the beginning means you. Wa alif at the end of this command means this is plural. So wala tattabi'u, and do not follow. So do not all of you follow. Khutuwat, footsteps. Ash-shaytan, the shaytan. Innahu, inna, indeed. Hu, he. Lakum, la, for. Kum, all of you. Aduwan, an enemy. Mubin, one clear or open. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the last lesson, we learned about some of the traditions that the polytheists of Mecca followed. They continued doing things that their elders did out of ignorance, without listening to the truth that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to invite them to. Shaitan made their traditions from the times of Jahiliyyah seem beautiful to them. He beautified those traditions for them, so they thought they were doing something good. They did things in love for their idols that they didn't do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَ لِكَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ قَتْلَ أَوْلَادِهِمْ شُرَكَاءُهُمْ. And likewise, their partners adorned for many polytheists killing their own children. The idols they worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala induced many of them to kill their own children. But how could doing something so evil seem beautiful to anyone? And how could they think that they were actually doing a good deed by killing their own child? They didn't think they were actually committing a sin when they did that. Now, let's go over the reasons for why they did that and how they killed their children. Some of the ways they did this. We all know that they used to bury their daughters alive. And why did they do that? Well, they were really proud, and they worried that if their daughters lived to grow up, they would eventually get married. And obviously, if their daughters got married to someone, they would have to respect the man she married, meaning their son-in-law. And they didn't want to have to do that because they were so arrogant. So they thought it was just best to kill the girls off as soon as they were born. Another reason why they killed their children was because they didn't want to have to provide for them. They believed that they didn't have the means to feed them and take care of them. So they didn't want to take on that responsibility. That's why they thought it was best to just kill them. Shaitan made them fear poverty. They were afraid of being poor and not being able to provide for them. And this was something the Vikings did as well in the times of Jahiliyyah, because it was common in the pre-Islamic times, even among people who were very successful. They used to kill off their children because they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to provide for them. A third way that the polytheists of Mecca killed their children was by dedicated them to the idols. Okay, they used to dedicate their children in the name of the idols. So they would make a vow that if they had a certain number of sons, like if they had 10 sons, they would dedicate the 11th one in the name of their idol. People continued doing that for a long time, even after the Mushrikeen of Mecca. Okay, they continued doing these things. And Shaitan made it seem so beautiful to them, as if they were doing a good deed. When the Nile River dried up, the people who lived around that area used to adorn an unmarried young woman with a lot of jewelry, and then they would throw her into the river, because they believed that sacrificing a beautiful girl to the river would make it start flowing again with water. But at the time when Umar radiallahu anhu was a khalifa, that area was ruled by the Muslims. So the governor of that area told Umar radiallahu anhu about their beliefs, about what they used to do. So Umar radiallahu anhu wrote a letter in which he wrote, "O Nile." So he basically wrote a letter to the river. And he said, "O Nile, if you flow by your own will, then we have nothing to do with you. You can do whatever you want. But if you flow by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that I am a khalifa of Allah and for His creation. And I order you to continue flowing as you have been." This letter was taken to the river and it was thrown in it. After that, the river continued to flow with water. And it still does to this day. Even though before the letter, it used to dry up every year. That was a way they killed young women too. Because before that, they used to sacrifice a young woman just to, they believed that they kept the river flowing. And they sacrificed their children in the name of idols, their own children. They did it happily. They didn't think it was a big deal to sacrifice an animal, as if that wouldn't be good enough. So they tried to do something great by slaughtering their own child in front of an idol. Astaghfirullah. لِيُرْدُوهُمْ. So that they lead them to destruction. Shaitan and their false idols made killing of their own children seem beautiful to them. So they would kill their own offspring. وَلِيَلْبِسُوا عَلَيْهِمْ دِينَهُمْ. And so that they confuse them in their religion. They wanted to make things so confusing for them so that they wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the original deen and the things people had just come up with. They claimed to follow the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because that was the right religion. There were suhuf that were revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they followed his religion at first. But as time passed, they started committing shirk. And they came up with these new innovations and started following them. Because they were influenced by others and adopted the ways of other people. And as they adopted new ways that belonged to other people, they kept adding to their religion. That's how the Mushrikeen had come up with all these false beliefs. Now, if we think about ourselves, the Muslims today, haven't we added things to religion as well? Adopting things from others? Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected our religion for us, He has promised that the Quran would stay exactly as it is in its original form till the Day of Judgment. But Muslims still take things from other religions, sometimes at least, and they add to their deen. And a lot of times, people can't even figure out if something is really a part of deen or not. Because people have added so much to it that it becomes confusing. It becomes hard to tell apart the pure deen or way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for us from the things that people have added to it. That is how religion was made confusing to people before as well. And they thought that killing their children was a part of deen, astaghfirullah, along with bowing before the idols that were made of stones. They thought they would intercede for them before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they thought it was good to bow before them and made that a part of deen. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا فَعَلُوهُ. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wanted, they would not have done so. Now, when people read this, they start saying that it's all up to Allah. And He didn't want to guide them. It wasn't their fault. That's why they didn't obtain guidance. They try to blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their straying. But that's not what this phrase means. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا فَعَلُوهُ actually means that He could have guided them forcefully. He could have forced them to believe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not force anyone to believe. He has given us all the freedom to decide for ourselves. So people can choose what they want to follow in life. They can choose to believe or disbelieve. فَذَرْهُمْ. So leave them alone. وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. And whatever they fabricate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave them alone, to let them be with their false inventions. Now we're going to learn about another tradition that the mushrikeen followed. وَقَالُوا هَذِهِ أَنْعَامٌ وَحَرْثٌ هِجْرٌ. And they said that such and such cattle and crops are reserved. They were prohibited from being touched, they believed. So they thought that the cattle or crops that they said were hijr could not be used because they were devoted in the name of a temple. They were restricted. They acted like it was haram to use them. لا يطعمها إلا من نشاء. Nobody should eat it except those whom we permit. The pronoun we in this ayah refers to the caretakers of the idols. So the caretakers are the ones who decided if someone could eat from the cattle or crops that were reserved just for their temple. And the caretakers of the idols did whatever they wanted. They made up the rules of what was halal and what was haram themselves, as to who the animal or crop was halal for and for whom it was restricted for. The word hijr was actually another word for haram or forbidden. So the caretakers of the idols decided if something was prohibited for someone or not, even though only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to decide that. But they decided this bizamihim, with their assuming, according to what they thought was right. They imposed these restrictions themselves. وَأَنْعَامٌ, and some cattle, there are some animals, حُرِّمَتْ ذُهُورُهَا, their backs were made unlawful. This means that the caretakers of the idols had prohibited people from riding or carrying loads on those animals. وَأَنْعَامُ لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا. And cattle, they do not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. This means that there were some animals over which they did not pronounce the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they did these three things. They decided what people could eat or what they couldn't eat. They decided if people could ride an animal or not. And they were the ones to decide if people could even say the name of Allah on an animal or not. Iftira'an alayh, fabrication against him. They made up and falsely attributed all these things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. سَيَجْزِيهِمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. Soon, he will recompense them for their invented lies. This means that it is not acceptable for anyone to come up with new things in deen. He will requite them for the lies that they came up with, because nobody has the right to decide what is lawful or forbidden. And if anyone does try to do that, they are basically fabricating a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah decides what is lawful and what isn't. وَقَالُوا مَا فِي بُطُونِ هَذِهِ الْأَنْعَامِ خَالِصَةٌ لِذُكُورِنَا. And they said, the offspring of these cattle is especially reserved for our males. They said that whatever was in the butun of those animals, meaning the baby the animal was carrying, would only be lawful for their men, for the men among them, if that baby was born alive. Only the men could eat it. This is something they made up themselves. And they said, وَمُحَرَّمٌ عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِنَا. And it is forbidden to our females. They made up these lies and they attributed these lies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that He ordered this when He had not. Now we should think of things that may be common with us in our culture that people have just made up when they claim that it's an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's anything that people around us invite us to do, claiming that it's a part of Islam when it's not, we should stay away from it, because they are fabricating a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a serious crime. It's a great sin. وَإِن يَكُمْ مَيْتَةً فَهُمْ فِيهِ شُرَكَاءَ. And if that baby was stillborn, if it was dead when it was delivered, then they could all share together. This is what they said. So they believed that it was okay for everyone to eat from the animal if it was stillborn. So in that case, the men and women could eat it. But if it was born alive, only men could eat it. Allahu Akbar. سَيَجْزِيهِمْ وَصْفَهُمْ. Soon he will punish them for their attribution. He will let them know about whatever they falsely ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will have to suffer as a result of their superstitions, the superstitions that they attributed to him. Remember that there was only one time when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he would stop eating something that was halal, just once all throughout life. And it was when he said that he would stop drinking honey to appease some of his wives who were jealous of the time he spent drinking honey with another wife named Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha. So when he said that he's going to stop eating honey, stop drinking honey from that day onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat in the Quran telling him that he couldn't make something unlawful for himself when it's halal. So we're not allowed to do that. And of course, he wasn't declaring that honey is unlawful, astaghfirullah. He was just saying that he wouldn't eat it from then onwards. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow him to do that. But if we don't like something, and that's the reason that we choose not to eat it, then it's okay. Like a lot of people, a lot of us, have never really developed the taste of camel meat or duck because we normally don't eat such foods. So we might not like the taste if we try it, and we don't have to eat it. Okay, we don't have to force ourselves to eat it if we choose not to, but we can't say that it's not halal to eat those animals because it is. Okay, we can't say that it's wrong to eat those animals because they are halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them lawful for us to eat. So we cannot declare something to be haram or halal on our own. We don't have the authority to do that. We must follow the guidelines that were set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else can decide if something is halal or not. Or if only men could eat something or only women could eat something. We can't say such things because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these foods permissible for both. It is a great sin to say such things. Innahu hakeeman aleem. Indeed, he is always all wise, always all knowledgeable. قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ قَتَلُوا أَوْلَادَهُمْ سَفَهَمْ بِغَيْرِ إِلْمٍ. In fact, suffered a loss those who killed their own children foolishly. بِغَيْرِ إِلْمٍ, without knowledge. Allahu Akbar. We just learned about the different ways that people murdered their own children in the former times. Now we should think about it and try to figure out if people still do this today. Do people kill their own children in these times too? Yes, they do. We hear about people who choose to abort their child even before it's born because they don't think that they'll be able to afford the baby. This is common. Some expecting couples get an abortion after they get an ultrasound done and they find out that the baby is a girl. They don't want to have a girl, so they choose to abort the baby. This happens in a lot of countries over the world. Astaghfirullah. That is killing their own children. That's how they do it. And shaitan makes it seem fair to them, as if they're not doing anything wrong. And these people act like they're so civilized, they're so educated, but they do such ignorant things. Some couples make up the excuse that they wouldn't be able to take care of the baby properly if they had the baby. But they should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everyone's Rabb, not them. Allah is the one who provides for that child and nurtures that child and all of them. Think about all the babies out there in this world who don't even have parents, and they're being provided for and they're surviving. They're being raised one way or another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about ways. But a lot of people who claim to be so educated, they think they're so intellectual, they end up aborting their unborn child just because of the fear of not being able to provide for that child or take care of it properly. And shaitan actually beautifies their actions for them. They justify their wrongdoing by saying that it's better to abort it instead of not being able to take care of it properly later on. A lot of them say that it's okay to get an abortion in the initial stages of pregnancy, before the soul is breathed into the fetus. They say that it's okay. It's only a cell before that time. But they should remember that it is a living thing, even then. It's living. It's a living thing that is growing. And once it is fully grown, it will become a whole human being. So how can anyone interfere with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to create? We don't have the right to do that. Even if it's not their child at the initial phase, it is living. And if we imagine ourselves in its place, we wouldn't do such a thing. We wouldn't want anyone to do that to us. We wouldn't want to be killed even before a chance to survive, before a chance to live. At the early embryonic phase, when it becomes alaqa, which is a word that we learn in the Quran, which means a clinging substance. At that time, it attaches to the uterine wall of the mother like a leech, and it relies on it to survive. But when a woman gets an abortion, that embryo is scraped off. It doesn't want to let go. It doesn't want to die, so it clings. A lot of couples abort their baby just because they're embarrassed of having a baby past a certain age. This is another scenario in which people get rid of the unborn children, the babies that they conceive. They think that they're too old to have a child. But they should remember that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed for it to happen, then it's meant to happen. Some couples decide to abort the baby after they get abnormal results from the assessment tests that they get done. Those tests are meant to check for abnormalities in the child, and they're usually done during the second trimester. However, no matter what the results of those tests are, the baby cannot be aborted, because it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to either end that baby's life or to let it live. Okay, there are many cases where babies cannot survive for long because they're abnormal. With those abnormalities, they're not able to survive. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for that child to die, it naturally happens. But the parents are not allowed to do that on their own. There are many cases where babies can't survive. Okay, because of those abnormal results that were found, so they naturally die. But if Allah wills for that baby to survive, nobody else can decide otherwise. Nobody has the authority to take a life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says people do such things, safaham bi ghayri ilm, that they kill their babies without knowledge, that they were doing something wrong. They don't even know that they're doing something so bad. He says, قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ. In fact, they have suffered a loss. Whoever has killed their babies, not on purpose, but due to a lack of knowledge, is still at a big loss. It's a great loss for the parents. And we learn from the 30th juz of the Quran, ayat, that say, وإذا الموءودة سئلت بأي ذنب قتلت. And when the baby girl who was killed will be asked, for what sin were you killed? How was it your fault? So people will be questioned about this. So it's not the baby's fault. Many countries forbid their citizens from having more than one or two kids. They say that the population needs to be controlled. And people end up committing this grave sin of killing their unborn babies because they don't want more than one or two. But this is all due to Shaitan's plotting. He makes this happen. كَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَ لِكَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ قَتْلَ أَوْلَادِهِمْ. He has adorned and beautified for many polytheists killing their own kids. He makes them think about their rest and their ease in life. So they don't want to take more responsibility. They don't want to go through any discomfort. They think so selfishly that they take the life of that child just to avoid the risk of any discomfort in their own lives. That is such a great injustice. So anyone who has killed their children, either intentionally or without knowledge, without knowing how serious it is, whatever they were doing, anyone who has done that has suffered a great loss. Anyone who has aborted an unborn baby without knowledge, without knowing that they were taking a life, should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sincerely repent. They should cry over what they've done and seek forgiveness. They should beg Him to forgive them. They should beg for His mercy. وَحَرَّمُوا مَا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ افْتِرَاءً عَلَى اللَّهِ. And they made unlawful food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them, falsely ascribing prohibitions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who claim that things are haram, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them halal for them, are also at a loss. They are losers because they can decide what is haram on their own. That is being unjust. To say that something halal is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He forbids people from eating whatever food is halal, that is injustice. قَدَ ضَلُّوا وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. Certainly, they have gone astray and they're not at all rightly guided. They were never wants to obtain guidance. That's why they did such things. And they followed their evil traditions. They went astray. Now, in the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of His blessings. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ جَنَّاتٍ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ وَغَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ. And it is He who has created all kinds of plants, trellised and untrellised. He gradually created gardens, step by step. It doesn't happen overnight, right? Gardens do not grow overnight, but it happens slowly over time. And there are some plants in gardens that are raised. They are ma'rushat. And an example of a fruit like that is grapes on vines. But there are others that are not raised, like trees that don't need vines. They're ghayra ma'rushat. And the vines of watermelons, because they're just spread on the ground. They don't need to be raised. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a vast variety of fruits for us, all with their own method of growing and becoming ripe. Imagine if grape vines were on the ground, like watermelon are. The grapes would have just gotten damaged on the ground. They would just get crushed, and we wouldn't even have been able to use them. And watermelons, imagine if they were raised high on vines, what would happen? They would just fall because they're so heavy. So they were not raised high. They're غَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَات. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established trellised and untrellised gardens. وَالنَّخْلَ and date palm. We eat dates as a snack, but they can even be used as a source of a complete, all the nutrients that we need. They can be used in place of a complete diet. Okay? Wazara is the crops, and the crops, the field crops. Mukhtalifan ukuluhu, different is its food, different is its tastes. It tastes different. The field crops with produce of different kinds all have a different taste. The nutrients in the different kinds of produce are different. Some are juicy to eat and some are soft. Others are hard. Some fruits need to be peeled before we eat them, and others need to be cut. They all taste different from one another. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a vast variety of fruits for us to enjoy. And the way we eat a pomegranate is not how we eat a banana. So each one is so different from the other. And we apply the hu at the end of ukuluhu, meaning its taste, to dates. If we do that, if we apply the hu in ukuluhu to dates, it means that there are so many different dates that we enjoy. So many different kinds, like the ajwa and so many others, depending on what we prefer to eat. Wazaytun and warumman and the olives and pomegranates. Subhanallah. There are so many olives. There are so many oils, different oils out there that we can use. But olive oil is so good for our health. It has so many benefits for us that it can even be used as medicine. And pomegranates are really good for us too. They're one of the fruits of Jannah. Mutashabiham wa ghayra mutashabi. So they are similar in kind and yet different in taste. So all the fruits look similar. Either they can be the same color or belong to the same fruit families, but they're still different somehow. If we take the example of citrus fruits, that would be oranges and lemons and lime, grapefruit, they're all similar, but they are also different from each other, and they taste different from one another. They have different tastes, right? Some are sour, others are bitter. So they all taste different from the other. Allahu Akbar. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us commands. Okay, the first is according to our desires. It's something we want to do because we want to enjoy these fruits that are listed. Right? So he says, Kulu min thamarihi. Eat of these fruits. Idha asmara. When it bears fruit in its season. So these fruits were created for us to eat. So he tells us that we can eat from them. They all taste and look so different. So people even use them for presentation and decoration. The vibrant colors of different fruits are so pleasing just to look at. And they taste and smell good too. And they are rich in essential nutrients. And fruits are not like the man-made things that were created just to taste good. Okay, there are a lot of things that man has created just for taste, but they damage our health. Fruits are actually good for us, and they're so refreshing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to eat the fruit when in season, when it bears fruit. وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ. This is the second command. And give its due on the day of harvest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to give away their zakah on the harvest day, when that fruit is ripe. We can eat it, but we must give some of it to the poor and the needy as sadaqah. And sadaqah, or charity, can be the general sadaqah we give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it can specifically be zakat, which is obligatory charity. There are two things that scholars say about this, and they're different. Okay, two different opinions. The first thing they say is that this ayah is Makki. It was revealed in Mecca. And zakat became fard in Medina. Okay, after the migration to Medina, in the second year after migration. So the percentage of zakat to be paid was given in the second year after migrating to Medina. So they say that atu haqqahu means sadaqah. So people should give charity in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the harvest day. That they should just give a portion of it. And the second group of scholars say that atu haqqahu refers to zakat, which is the obligatory charity, the fard that has to be done. And it's true that zakat was made fard in Medina, they say, the second group, but this ayah was revealed in Medina. That's what the second group of scholars believe. And they say that's why a portion of the harvest should be given as zakat. Anyway, we should know that there is zakat that has to be paid on fields that people own. And even if there's no zakat for someone to pay, if it's not obligatory for them according to the situation they're in, they should give some of the fruits as charity to others on harvest day. They should know that others are entitled to it as well. So the poor and needy should be given a share out of the crops or produce. Okay. And next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, and do not be spendthrift. How do people do israf? How are they spendthrift? Well, in this case, it can mean that someone takes all their produce and gives it out as charity. That is a form of israf too. Because we learned that Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu harvested dates from his garden. And he made a promise to give dates to whoever went to ask him for them. He vowed. So people went rushing to get dates from him. And he didn't have a single date left by the time it was evening. By the evening, all his dates were gone. People took them all. That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this order. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, and do not be extravagant. Do not cross the limits. He tells people not to do israf. They shouldn't exceed limits. And that way, they can make sure that there's enough left for their own families. The thing is, people harvest their crops once or twice a year. Okay? just once or twice a year. It's not done like every few weeks. And the money they get from their crops or the produce sustains them for the whole year. That's their source of income. They rely on that money to get by for the whole year because they don't get paid every month. So it would be extravagance to give it all away all of a sudden. And the other way someone would do israf is to waste it. That would be to throw it away, to let it go bad without using it themselves or giving it away for others to use. And some do israf by spending too much suddenly, as soon as they get money for whatever it is they harvest. So they overspend without thinking about what they're spending on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to be moderate when it comes to spending. We're not taught to be stingy at all in Islam, but we are told not to exceed limits when it comes to spending. Okay, we're supposed to spend a reasonable amount. Today, many people think that it's good to be extravagant. It's good to spend a lot and to just go all out. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Surely He does not love the spendthrifts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like it when people waste wealth. So it's nothing to be proud of. In fact, we should be careful with our spending. And if we think about why people spend too much and why they go overboard, it's because they think the wealth they have is all theirs. So they can do whatever they want with it because it's theirs. So nobody else can interfere with their decision to spend it and what they want to spend it on. But as for people who know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave them that wealth, they know that He has a right over it, not them. They are careful with where they spend it, what they spend it on, because they know that it is His and He gave it to them. They're entrusted with it for a short time, and they'll be questioned about where they spend it, so they don't waste it. And they give others their share of it because they know that they're not the actual owners of that wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the real malik of that wealth. He is the owner. So they wouldn't waste His wealth or throw it away on useless things. And they wouldn't be stingy about it either. They would use it as it should be used, properly. And they would keep in mind that it all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they don't have a right to do that. We should remember this last part of the ayah. Okay, there's an important lesson for us in this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who exceed limits. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. As we go on, we should make a list of the kind of people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like in people, so we can work on ourselves. And we should know that He does not like it if we are extravagant, even if others are impressed when we tend to overspend. It doesn't matter. We're not here to impress anyone. Okay, we have to try to live according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ حَمُولَةً وَفَرْشًا. And of the animals you have, some are for transportation and some for slaughter. Some are meant to carry weight and give you rides, and others are short, meaning they're close to the ground. They're farsha. They are not made to carry burdens. Their hide is used for warmth and to make rugs and mats with. And there are some that we just use for food and we don't ride. Kulu mimma razaqakumullah. Eat of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you. But وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Khat means a line. So following the khutuwat of shaitan means the line created under the two steps of shaitan. So we are told not to follow the footsteps of shaitan. Okay, the line he makes that is created under the two steps. When a person follows their desires, they follow the footsteps of shaitan. We learned this already back in Surah Al-Baqarah. And when we learn about eating halal things, we're also told not to follow the footsteps of shaitan. Right? We're told then to وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Why? How is halal food connected to not following shaitan? Because shaitan does whatever he can to get people to eat forbidden things. He doesn't want people to eat only halal. Sometimes there are hundreds of halal things around. But shaitan makes people want to eat the one thing that is haram. The one thing that's forbidden. And that's why he made Adam alayhi salam mess up as well. That's how he made Adam alayhi salam be expelled out of Jannah. Out of all the things that they could eat freely from Jannah, shaitan made him want to eat from the one tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden. He prompted him to do it and deceived him. And that's what shaitan wants to do with us too. We shouldn't even think about eating forbidden foods when there are so many halal things for us to eat from. There's no need to eat forbidden things. Sadly, many Muslims today forget. There are so many drinks that we're allowed to enjoy, but they like drinking alcohol. The only one that's forbidden. They don't care about all the other drinks because shaitan makes them think of whatever is forbidden. So we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly warned us not to follow the footsteps of shaitan. Innahu lakum aduwwum mubeen. Indeed, he is your open enemy. He will do whatever he can to make us fall into haram things. And he wants us to make the lawful things unlawful for ourselves. That's his goal. Because he is our enemy. Allahu Akbar. So we should remember that we have to follow the rules given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially when it comes to haram and halal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from following the footsteps of shaitan and from falling into forbidden things. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.